Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion of politics as if the people mattered. I'm David Swanson. Congressman Dennis Kucinich says that the failure to impeach, prosecute, or hold accountable George W. Bush has led to continued abuses by President Barack Obama.
Actually, there's an unbroken line in policy from the Bush administration to the Obama administration. It's not just that the policies are indistinguishable, but they've intensified under Obama with an expansion of war without Congress having any say-so at all. And this is a direct result of a Democratic leadership not challenging the Bush administration's lies that took us to war against Iraq.
Congressman Kucinich believes that accountability is still needed and still possible.
It is urgent that America prepare for a new period of truth and reconciliation. We need a process by which those individuals who took us into war are required to face a public inquiry and are required to admit that they misled the country.
I am thrilled to welcome to Talk Nation Radio this week, Congressman Dennis Kucinich. Congressman, thanks for being on Talk Nation Radio.
Thanks very much. Good to be with you, Dave.
It's great to hear your voice. And I'd like to start with something that you were the leading member of Congress on during the previous administration, and that was the effort to hold Bush and Cheney and their gang accountable for abuses of power. You introduced articles of impeachment against Bush and Cheney, and defenders of those often said, look, the point of this is to deter similar abuses going forward. What has been the result of the failure of your colleagues to follow through and to hold Bush and Cheney accountable for any of their crimes or abuses?
Well, there is a narrative which has existed from 2002 until this present date that has been completely based on falsehood. That is, that the reason why the United States went to war in Iraq was said to be that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, that it was somehow connected to 9/11, that it had the intention and capability of attacking the United States. All of those assertions, which were stated in quite graphic detail by the president, the vice president, and leading members of his administration, it turned out to be false. We knew, some of us knew, back in 2002, that the case that was being made for war against Iraq was based on falsehoods. So here we have now a decade where, because those individuals have not been held to an accounting, the falsehoods remain as a officially unchallenged, as a description of American history that is absolutely diametrically opposed to the facts. So we have two political realities, one which was constructed for the purpose of ideology, cupidity, arrogance, and another which was derived simply from facts. And the false narrative has triumphed because Mr. Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, Pearl, Ms. Rice, and others have not been held accountable.
And what has happened to the types of abuses, to warrantless spying, to imprisonment without trial?
Actually, there's an unbroken line in policy from the Bush administration to the Obama administration. It's not just that the policies are indistinguishable, but they've intensified under Bush, or under Obama, with an expansion of war without Congress having any say-so at all. And this is a direct result of a Democratic leadership not challenging the Bush administration's lies that took us to war against Iraq.
Would you agree that, well, there may be less blood in terms of number of people already dead on the current president's hands than his predecessors, that the war powers in terms of Libya, in terms of CIA-run drone wars, in terms of a publicly acknowledged kill list of assassinations, have in some ways grown worse than anything that Bush and Cheney attempted?
When you analyze the Bush administration, you see that they exceeded the authority of the authorization for the use of military force and took us into a war in Afghanistan that, you know, the occupation of which had no legal, no legitimate legal standing. The action against Iraq was was pursuant to a congressional authorization. The Obama administration has expanded American military action and engaged in extra constitutional practices in wars in Libya, in Pakistan, Somalia, Yemen. We're looking at the placement of U.S. arms and materiel in many countries in Africa. We see yesterday that the U.S. is sending troops to Jordan at near the Syrian border. All this is being done with Congress out of the picture. The founders were very concerned in putting the war power in the hands of directly elected representatives of the people. And we have seen a stunning usurpation of the Constitution by the Obama administration. And since 9/11, the precedents were set in not holding the Bush administration accountable. And the Obama administration has not been held accountable. And Congress has position has weakened. But I sense that in the debate that took place over Libya, that Congress at last may be attempting to regain a foothold in the debate over who has the authority to send our troops into harm's way.
Well, we were fortunate to have you in the Congress to kick off that debate around Libya, and we may not always have someone there to do that. But how much harder, if at all, do you think it is for future Congresses to take any of these powers back after having been through a Republican and a Democratic administration?
Well, here's the thing to keep in mind that often gets forgotten. There are two paths that the Constitution provides, where an executive can ask for an authorization to go to war, and if it fails, a war cannot proceed, or that Congress at any time has the ability to cut off funds. I would think that there will be enormous public pressure sooner than later to stop spending money on the wars, and that day is coming. There is an understanding that spending money on wars means that we can't spend money in meeting other needs, and that we're expanding a deficit to continue to go to war. In some ways, we've borrowed money from China to wage wars elsewhere. We've weakened our country with these wars. We've weakened it morally, financially. We've weakened our military. We weaken our ability to be able to meet the needs of the American people here at home. The American people are beginning to sense the absurdity of the effort to go around the world and tell everyone else how to live when we're the good life we're trying to bring to other countries is escaping us here at home.
Of course, the American people are not in Congress, and to only a limited extent have members like yourself that represent their views. The bulk of what we spend seems to be in war preparation, in the base military budget and budgets of other departments, rather than in supplemental bills for wars. What are the prospects for actually cutting back base war preparation spending?
Again, as the spending for the Pentagon crowds out other necessary domestic spending. The counterpressures begin from the grassroots to ask questions about why don't we have enough money for education, housing? Why do we have money to build bombs to blow up bridges in other countries and don't have money to build bridges? As the American people become faced with the lack of response or lack of attention to their practical aspirations, they start to ask questions of the government. And the more questions that are asked, the more difficult it is for the government to be able to maintain its pose as a warrior state while the country falls apart from within.
Sadly, Congressman, you won't be in Congress, at least in the immediate future, having been more or less redistricted out, and amazingly, the weapons companies didn't come launch a $1 billion ad campaign to keep you in there. What are your plans for the immediate future?
I am working to try to find a way to keep my team together and to maintain a presence in Washington so that I can continue to be heard and felt on the very same issues that I've been working on for the last 16 years, and that would be peace, international cooperation, protection of the environment, fair trade, monetary reform. There's a range of issues, and civil liberties. There's a whole range of issues that I've been working on that I intend to continue to work on. I'm just looking to put together the resources to make that possible, because anything that I've done, David, I have not done alone. I mean, I may take solitary stands on the floor of the House at times, but I have a group of people who have helped to make it possible because by myself. And so I'm just trying to find the means of keeping a team of people together so that we can continue to not just be heard from, but to share with others who are in the Congress about the necessity of America taking a new direction away from empire and towards a government that's based on truth and social and economic justice.
We are speaking with Congressman Dennis Kucinich of Cleveland, Ohio. Congressman, what kind of process might we be able to pursue going forward toward the end of government accountability?
It is urgent that America prepare for a new period of truth and reconciliation. We need a process by which those individuals who took us into war are required to face a public inquiry and are required to admit that they misled the country. We really have to have this period in order to be freed of these yoke of falsehood which we carry forward into a dimly lit future. We cannot, as a nation, continue to live a lie. We must, as a nation, come out of the shadows of deception, which have grown so long in this country and which force us to keep repeating the same dismal record of intervention over and over and over, under the false assumption that somehow we're going to be safer and freer, when in fact the opposite has been achieved. We're less safe and we're less free. So truth and reconciliation, in the same way that South Africa and other nations had to meet their past in a way that was not pleasant, but in a way that was freeing and liberating, America needs to come to that to terms. And that's something, you know, I certainly intend to continue to work towards.
Is that as an alternative to the enforcement of laws and prosecution of?
I think that it could be done one of two ways. I'm just saying that I think that a process of truth and reconciliation could be very liberating for this country, and that that while people may not be willing to prosecute or jail former top official, I think that there are other ways to compel testimony in a authorized program or structure that would enable people a chance to come forward and to tell the truth about what happened. And, you know, we need the truth more than we need punishment. And I'm more interested in getting the truth out than I am in punishing people, but I wouldn't preclude that people who continue to lie and in the face of incontrovertible facts, that they be held to an account. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You know, there's a different path there. I'm interested in reconciliation. We have a gap that's been created in this country. We've had our politics polarized, and the lies have helped to polarize our politics. Once the truth comes out, we can heal our nation, and that is the highest goal that we should have. I am committed to that.
Well, I am delighted to know that you will still be in Washington, that you will still be working on that mission, and I know a lot of people will be eager to help in any way that we can.
David, thanks again.
We have been speaking with Congressman Dennis Kucinich, Democrat from Cleveland, Ohio, a leader, perhaps the leader in the United States Congress for the past 16 years for the causes of peace and justice, as well as constitutional checks on presidential abuses of power. Congressman Kucinich elected over and over again by strong majorities of his constituents in Cleveland, Ohio, including this past year. However, his district had been gerrymandered to stretch all the way to Toledo, and his opponent, another Democratic incumbent, was heavily funded by the industries against whose interests Congressman Kucinich has worked while working in the interests of his constituents and our nation and the world as a whole. You can find Congressman Dennis Kucinich these days at Kucinich Action. The website is kucinich.us. You can find the 35 articles of impeachment and the case for prosecuting George W. Bush at any bookstore or Amazon.com or other online bookseller, or for free at warisacrime.org/Bush. You can find the articles of impeachment for Richard B. Cheney at warisacrime.org/Cheney. Read through those lists of abuses and contemplate which, if any, have been scaled back and which have been expanded upon during the past 4 years. A ray of hope comes to us in the area of government accountability from our friends in the beautiful country of Italy, where I just this week published the following op-ed piece that I'd like to share with you. Almost 10,000 Americans have sent messages to the Italian embassy in Washington thanking Italy's high court for upholding the convictions of 23 Americans, 22 CIA officers, and one military official for the offense of kidnapping a man off the street in Milan on February 17, 2003, and shipping him to Egypt to be brutally tortured. La legge è uguale per tutti, or the law is the same for everyone, were the words on the wall behind the judges. Would that it were so. Those 10,000 messages sent through the website of an organization I work for, rootsaction.org, also asked Italy to request the extradition of the 23 convicts who are living free and immune from serious consequences in the United States. If the law were the same for all, Italy would request extradition. If the law were the same for all, Italy would be able to kidnap the 23 and justify the act to the U.S. government by calling it rendition. If the law were the same for all, the United States would prosecute our own criminals and not have to rely on Italy to do so. If the law were the same for all, prosecutions of mid to low-level operatives would be followed by prosecutions of the ultimate decision-makers at the top, including U.S. presidents. If the law were the same for all, the U.S. government would be more interested in shipping 23 convicts to Italy to serve their sentences than in shipping WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange to Sweden or the United States, in neither of which nations he has been convicted of or even charged with a crime. Abu Omar was walking near his home in Milano, when he was stopped and questioned by a policeman. When the two men had been engaged in conversation for some minutes, the side door of a van parked behind Omar crashed open with a thunderous sound. Two extremely large and strong men grabbed their victim and hauled him inside, and the door slammed shut 3 seconds after it had opened. As the van accelerated and the two men hit and kicked their victim repeatedly in the dark of the van's interior, pounding his head, chest, stomach, and legs, they stopped. They stuffed a gag in his mouth and put a hood over his head, and they cinched cords tight around his wrists and ankles. Hours later, they threw him into another vehicle. An hour later, they took him out, stood him up, cut his clothes off, shoved something hard up his anus, stuck a diaper and pajamas on him, wrapped his head almost entirely with duct tape, and tossed him in an airplane. The torture he received when he got where he was going left him nearly dead, prematurely aged, barely able to walk. The torture was U.S.-sponsored and Egyptian-administered. The kidnapping was the work of dozens of CIA agents who had long been living it up in Italy's most luxurious hotels. They carelessly used identifiable cell phones and frequent flyer accounts, as well as disguising themselves with pseudonyms very similar to their real names. They believed they were above the law. The Italian courts are to be congratulated for showing them that they might not be. No other nation has done the same. The United States believes it can operate under different rules from the rest of the world. George W. Bush and Richard B. Cheney left office to go on book tours rather than on trial. They tentatively established new U.S. practices still considered somewhat illicit and scandalous. President Obama publicly instructed the U.S. Justice Department not to prosecute the CIA for torture. On the question of permitting the prosecution of his predecessor, President Obama said he preferred to, quote, look forward. Sadly, we're looking forward to a world without legal limitations on presidents. Under Obama, Bush's abuses have become openly acknowledged, formalized, and legalized public policy. New presidential powers include the power to spy on Americans without a warrant, the power to lock anyone up forever without a trial, the power to kidnap and ship victims to their torturers abroad, the power to assassinate anyone, men, women, children, Americans, non-Americans, the power to conduct drone wars in secret, and the power to launch and continue major wars without congressional authorization. Bush at least went to the trouble to lie to Congress. Republican Party presidential nominee Mitt Romney's advisors have urged him to bring back torture techniques used by Bush and abandoned by Obama. Romney, or another future president, can only do that because Obama forbid his attorney general to enforce U.S. laws against torture. Obama has given torturers immunity, continued to sanction torture techniques like sleep deprivation and sensory deprivation that don't leave visible scars, and claimed the right to resort to other forms of torture if he should choose to. Obama has, in short, transformed torture into a policy choice rather than a crime. The statutes of limitations are expiring in the United States now, so that it is becoming too late to prosecute torture here, except in those cases that resulted in the victim's death. This makes it very difficult for us to strip the power to torture away from any future president. We need Italians' help. We're struggling on our own. We need a friend who doesn't tell us pretty lies. We need a brother or a sister who gives it to us straight. We need the courageous, principled action of the Italian courts to have consequences. I don't mind saying my nation is wrong. I said it when I protested U.S. Army base construction in Vicenza. I'm not asking for the United States to be stripped of the power to enforce its own laws. I'm asking for universal jurisdiction to be employed precisely where it must be, in those cases in which the relevant nation has failed. I'm asking for Italy to be able to enforce its own laws against everyone in equal manner. Iraq managed this. Iraq refused to allow U.S. mercenaries to continue to operate with legal impunity. As a result, U.S. forces withdrew. If CIA operatives knew they were subject to the rule of law, perhaps they would withdraw as well. I have every confidence Italy could survive and prosper without them. To join in that action, to have your comments go to the Italian Embassy in Washington, D.C., visit rootsaction.org, which you should be visiting every week regardless, for the endless series of creative, independent online actions that you can take. RootsAction.org has very quickly grown into a force of 200,000 independent activists committed to peace and justice and the social good, regardless of the outcome of the looming election. We have recently forced an offensive war entertainment show off the air at NBC. We have recently convinced the State Department to give a visa to a leading peace activist from Afghanistan who will be visiting the United States. We've helped persuade the nation of Ecuador to grant asylum to Julian Assange. And thousands of our names in opposition to U.S. drone strikes have been delivered by our allies in the peace movement to elected officials, tribal leaders, and the victims of drone strikes, whose existence our government denies this month in Pakistan. You can go to rootsaction.org now and take action to save Social Security and Medicare, to push U.S. senators to follow examples of past senators that we offer on the site. You can find out what is the worst corporation in the world at the moment and what can be done about it. You can push back against abuses in our airports by the Transportation Security Administration. You can work for the elimination of nuclear weapons and nuclear power plants and against any military strike on the nation of Iran, as well as pushing for the opening of presidential debates to include additional candidates rather than merely the two whose parties currently run our corrupted debating system. That's rootsaction.org. I encourage you to participate at every opportunity. This is David Swanson. It is my privilege and honor to be your host at Talk Nation Radio. I will be speaking in person in Asheville, North Carolina on October 26th. I hope to see you there. And in the Bay Area of California, together with my friends Medea Benjamin and Cindy Sheehan, on November 10th and 11th of this year. November 11th is, of course, Armistice Day, not Veterans Day. Celebrate it appropriately. Go to veteransforpeace.org to learn how. This is Talk Nation Radio. I'm David Swanson. Talk Nation Radio is produced in Charlottesville, Virginia, engineered by Christiane Brown in Reno, Nevada, and syndicated by Pacifica Network. Until next time,